Yeah, the other value that I heard, and I just want to make sure I heard it, Scott, is, and part of this is being on the fire department here and responding both in the marine environment and at MVAs, is the communication among your crews and the training. I'm assuming when you guys train for both, you're trained together on MVAs, you're trained together on marine responses, and so when the crews are going out, they're speaking this, I mean, we sort of speak the same language most of the time, but we rarely train together. And so when we go to an MVA, fire's doing our thing, EMS is doing their thing, and sometimes we look at each other and say, what do you guys need? But you guys are training on that, and you're not seeing any communication issues. It seems to be going real smooth, and I mean, the scenes are well organized and run and managed the whole nine yards. Is that fair to say?
Oh, yeah. So for an example would be the calls on the east side of the island have increased over the last couple of years, and our Station 25 lieutenant is just a firefighter and has been, you know, doing firefighting, you know, for years. But he's active, and he'll respond on an EMS call in his area and at least give a report of sick or not sick. So you can, you know, downgrade to code yellow, or we need you to continue lights and sirens because this individual does not look good. And communications being as they are in the county, sometimes, you know, the radio communications are choppy. And so, you know, having a firefighter be able to just communicate enough to say sick or not sick alerts the crews that are coming from East Sound what the situation with that patient is. And then when the ambulance shows up, you know, he's there and available for manpower if needed. He knows what our needs are. If he's not needed, then he's outside of the house and maybe moving rigs around, moving the ambulance around. And if we need an LZ set up, he's breaking away from the scene and establishing communication with the helicopter as they come in. And so, you know, those are regular occurrences for the agency. And so really, when I get on scene, I know that somebody's a firefighter or an EMT, but I know that as far as scene management, and I really don't care who they are, I know that everyone knows what to do, and I can break several people away to do something.
I think it's evident that you like the fire EMS-based system.
I'm a cheerleader for it, yeah.
If it's done here...
Yeah, we got that.
If it's done here on the count on San Juan, it then becomes like models across the county, which does open up a potential for an RFA, which does open up a potential for maybe even greater synergies. Do you see Orcas, or do you see yourself be a proponent of that? So if there's a long-term sell, is that maybe there can be a county system? As I can especially see manpower. If paid EMTs and paid paramedics, if there was 8 of them or 10 of them when you looked at, you know, the county, you at least if somebody's sick or somebody goes on vacation, you have a greater draw.
True.
Even equipment, if you have some broken equipment, you have, you know, you don't maybe need as many backup ambulances or backup fire trucks or backup monitors or so forth, so there could be synergies. Would you be a proponent of that?
Yes.
Do you think Orcas would be a proponent of that?
Better question.
I think so.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Because you can't read their minds and you can't make theirs, but fair enough.
Yeah.
It's not impossible.
It's not impossible, no.
Yeah.
And I think, again, if you've got a well-built system, there's always going to be a little bit of a culture change in order to initially make that happen. But then if you've got a well-built system, then you move from three different districts to a rural authority that's well-managed and functioning, and it works. And in the end, when people show up at the door and they're getting good customer service at the door, that's what they care about.
Exactly. And the reality of it is, it's really the internal people that need to work together. And if there is three, you know, agencies that have come together as one and they're all working together, and like you suggest, they're responding to the needs of whatever the residents are, they're going to be happy. And if there's a way to even get a synergistic return, they're even going to be happier. By the way, at 68%, I think it should be Orcus Rescue and Fire. I love it, Rascal.
We're reopening, we can continue the conversation. Yeah, I know, it's funny. Because that's all I know, like, I hear it, and I hear the conversation, and I'm like, well, you're making it sound like a bad thing, but but you're right. There's definitely, you know, but that there's especially moving here and experiencing, you know, San Juan. Like there is that culture, and it's intimate. You know, the fact that we go out of our way for people and we're proud of what we do. It's emotional and it's intimate. And so when you feel like you're taking that away potentially. And you're not really, but maybe just the perception is. Then it becomes a different battle. So I understand what you're saying.
And since a lot of this will come down to if we have an election, what are we going to tell people to vote on, and how are they going to feel about voting for it? It's all perception at that point. I mean, mm-hmm. We can try to sell them on the facts, but you know, it's a popularity contest when they hit the polls. So. That's more than just a little bit tangentially interesting. It's kind of crucial to any decision that gets implemented.
I just wanted to thank you for coming across the waters.
Yeah, we know how far down it is.
Walk back over. Congratulations. Good job. Walk my dog before he pees all
Take care, doctor.
Yeah. He's one of the hospital district commissioners.
Okay. Yeah. Wonderful.
And a doctor. As it turns out.
Well, good. I don't want to waste any more of your time with our machinations.
But it's thank you for inviting me. Appreciate it.
No, we really appreciate it and appreciate your candor, and it's really helpful to us. I mean, we still have a little road to hoe here.
Yeah, there may be more questions we shoot over.
Yeah.
But we probably won't ask you to come back and visit. Yeah. But I appreciate you coming.
Once
honestly,
we get
really.
The final budget approved for the year, I can send it off to you and describe some of the future challenges mm-hmm. that we see and that forth. You know, we've got cardiac monitors that are just like San Juan EMS. We're both agencies. I know we're waiting on potentially, you know, some of the newer models, because there's a couple of newer models coming down the pipe here real soon. But that's a large expanse, but we need to upgrade. There's some financial challenges in the future. We're looking at buying an ambulance because it's, you know, the fire side of things, it's low volume but high risk. So you train on a lot and you try to keep your equipment, but then you look at the EMS side of things and, you know, our ambulances are on the road, you know, a lot. So I'm trying to invest in a newer ambulance right now. So.
And do you have one CIP budget, or do you have a split CIP for the EMS and the fire side? Or do you just build one together and try to keep those long-term needs moving on a triage basis?
It's all, triage basis, yeah. So I've got a small EMS portion of my budget, but it's more for like medical supplies and, you know, the professional services that we pay out for, like Dr. Sullivan's services and so forth, equipment and stuff. So like you look at it and you go, well, that's a small portion, but really the operations of the EMS is built into the main operations of the department. So the apparatus section, that's all for fire and EMS, you know, the fire trucks and the ambulance and whatever we
have. But you don't bring out the capital as proportionally contributing to capital on one side or the other.
No. And I'm not saying I'm doing it right. I've had to take what I've received in my department and redirect a little bit. So I'm still, I feel like, in a building phase for the district as far as how we are, what our strategic plan is and where we're going forward. So
Well, great. If there's no more questions, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's
appreciate it. Appreciate that. Yeah.
It's very, very helpful to us. And we know you want, so just you know what you need.
When's your budget hearing, Chief?
November 19th.
November 19th, so sometime in December it'll be out.
Yep.
Well, great. Do we have any new business to discuss tonight? I think we're set calendar-wise for our next meeting.
What is on the 7th? As far as the agenda, what?
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you want to make any comments before we left?
Thank you for asking. No, that was a very excellent session.
Okay. the agenda for the 7th. What is?
We've got some subcommittee work that we're in the progress of doing, so I think part of it was coming back with some reports from the subcommittees.
Thank you, Scott.
And I think, I think we're at a point to continue. Thank you. We're at a point again to continue a discussion about how do we start to formulate the beginnings of a report, I think.
Yeah, because, we've got, today's the 17th. So we're showing four before the end of the year.
Right.
So our timeline, any thoughts or suggestions as well as, apparently we're not going to meet October to have it done. So
I think that was a paradox.
but
I think we said so.
Yeah.
There goes the bonus.
Yeah.
I think we talked at the last meeting the hope would be to try to have significant progress by the end of the year. None of us want to, at least nicely enough, I don't want to continue on for a great length of time. I'm hoping we can start to formulate our recommendation and the report format soon and start moving that forward.
One of the things we talked about needing to do is formulating questions that we need answers to make judgments about various options that are on the table. Among those might be legal questions, which is what we were going to deal with. And I got, both the auditor and the assessor said, if there's something we can do to come and talk about levies or elections, let us know. But you'll have to ask us first, because most of the questions we aren't going to be able to answer off the top of our head. Right. And you probably want legal advice or opinion, not necessarily formal legal advice, but at least someone who knows something about the law related to this, which would be MRSC. And we'd have to ask them those questions after we have them. So we probably should bring that stuff to the next meeting and try to distill the questions that we need answers to move ahead.
Yeah, so we should get together and have a discussion.
Yeah, we need to do a discussion on that between now and
then. Yeah.
Or at least email around a bunch of thoughts.
Right.
And try to distill those at the meeting, perhaps.
Yeah.
When's your budget going to be finalized?
It was this afternoon.
There you go.
Yeah, they're done.
And EMS?
Both the PhD and the EMS will have their budget hearing on November 7th.
Okay.
And if there are any revisions to that, they've got to do that, and it'll be posted for public review, but we'll be done.
Which will be close by the 7th, so we can at least pull those two budgets together to start a financial analysis of, what they're looking at in 2019. We can get Scott's approved one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and at some point it would be interesting to see if we could figure out a way to engage putting both budgets together. What would that look like as a single budget? I'm curious.
You guys could get a third-party accountant who has no connections to any of the districts if you wanted to. But and there are advantages to that. Alternately, you could get someone like Chris Compton, who has extensive familiarity with at least the EMS budget. And I'm sure the fire district has somebody.
Yeah, I think it's actually won't be too difficult for us to assemble it. I mean, it'll probably be a little bit broad in nature, manpower versus, operations versus, fixed operations versus overhead, but I think we can probably get to some pretty decent overhead numbers, and we can probably get to some easy operational numbers.
and we can look at and do equipment comparisons, just see how much equipment's out there for each, you know, organization and kind of melding them together. Since Orcus's call volume is, you know, not too far off, and its population base isn't too far off, it's kind of a good...
it's a good quality control check, yeah, based on anything, right, we would put together to see how realistic,
right,
it is.
Yeah.
I noticed, just looking at the numbers, that the levy rates combined for EMS and Fire 3, we agreed, was about the same as Fire 2. They raised 2.1 some million, I forget what it was, with their levy. The combined levies here are about 2.9.
But that's isn't that excluding the revenue from the town for fire?
Yeah, yes, that would exclude the town. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that number is.
And they would exclude the fees. $300,000
for town, Brad, is that the contract is?
Right.
Okay, so they would get about 3.2 if you annex the town.
But it's also the fee for service, too, which is another
$400,000. No, I'm talking just about levies.
Right, yeah.
So. I mean, there is an incremental chunk of change that comes from fee for service and other revenue, presumably.
Yeah, so they...
But, you know, I was just looking at the levy rates because we talked about how, yeah, fire and EMS is about the same as fire 2's levy rate. But it occurred to me that they're applied to a wholly different basis.
They're all, that's right.
So I had to look up the numbers to see.
Right.
So in fact, you know,
yeah,
the assessment is high for, you know, us.
Right.
Because we cover actually a bigger area than just San Francisco.
Right. So in theory...
I think they may have Waldron in Fire 2, is that right?
Yeah, I was going to...
They don't have Waldron
even. No Outer Islands.
They don't have Center or anything. None of that stuff. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's the real reason is that we have a bigger number of...
Do you have an expense for Outer Islands?
I don't know why. Right. Some of these are in this district.
And when you did your budget...
You have two, right? You have Brown and Pearl.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, there are those.
But do you have expenses for those?
Separate?
As part of the district.
It's not separate.
No, I know they're not separate, but you have expenses for those.
Sure. There's a pension on Brown Island.
Okay. Okay. So there might be, because of geography, some additional cost that we'll have to value out as opposed to a, you know, Orcus and so forth. So it might, you know, you got an engine, you have manpower, you have training, you might have a building. So there could be $200,000 or $300,000 a year of... expense to those things that we'll have to factor in.
I don't think so on Brown, but I could be wrong.
Not on Brown.
Pretty minimal.
I'm just interested in his budget. I'm not interested in
one used rig that isn't worth five figures. It's not. It's not exactly.
I'm more interested in the expenses, not what the not its location, but because they're Outer Islands, it might drive EMS and fire a little bit different than what Orcus would be, as if you were doing a comparative.
Yeah. They don't probably run a fireboat either. But that's a...
Yeah, they have a fireboat.
Just saying.
Orcus?
Yeah, I mean, they run the fireboat there just like they run it here.
What fireboat?
What fireboat?
No, they don't have one.
What fireboat do they run over there? That
what's
was
the
my point.
Hat?
The Guardian?
Boat,
the they have a Guardian.
Sheriff's boat.
Right.
Sheriff's boat.
Yeah, right, but they go out on that.
They go out, but they're not sharing in the cost.
They don't pay.
You guys sharing the cost here? Is that correct?
We pay $250 an hour for training or fire response.
Yeah, and I think they
and
do
we
over there.
Our staff, our own operators.
Our own operator, right.
Yeah. EMS gets the $250 an hour for the use of the boat, and we provide the
operators
for them,
right,
as well as the training that goes into the
program. So,
yeah, we'll just have to look at it and try to get it as close to apples as we can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So the 7th was going to be just so we can get ready for it. You guys have some committee stuff that's coming back.
Yeah.
Is there any people that are going to be at the 7th?
That was not part of the plan.
No.
Unless you guys can come up with some
unless
legal
we have questions
yeah.
that we think we want answered at that meeting, and we can get them to the people enough in advance that they can come to the meeting.
Do we want to have a discussion then?
That's unlikely.
On what we're going to try to look at as an outcome?
Yes, I think we should start having that discussion.
Okay.
We do have a lot of questions that you guys came up with last time.
Yes, that's where we have to start. But I don't think we're going to be done with that.
And
there was that first whiteboard session we had, and there was that issues column that Rick had suggested that you do, and that had a lot of issues on there as well.
Do you know, if we start to get into the discussion of outcomes, that might help narrow the world a little bit as far as...
What questions?
There may be some that we'll just
discard. I would agree. It's not a bad thing to talk about which outcomes do we want to emphasize in the furthering discussions about.
You picked four last time.
But I think we can probably even pare that down.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what we picked.
But you can chart it out from start to finish what would happen, what would be involved in each option.
Yeah, but I think some options have a much higher likelihood of actually being the recommendation we want to make.
For sure.
And those would be the ones for which we should spend
our time
formulating questions.
I think we're ready to start driving that one.
That probably makes sense.
Yeah.
Out of the next work session.
That's what I just want to get prepared for.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah, bring the numbers. Just bring the numbers.
Okay.
Thanks.
And a name. If you want to merge them, we want a name, Rick.
Rescue and Fire.
EMS Rescue and Fire.
Scott's pretty protective of that name, you know? And I bet you Bob Jarman is, too.
A lot of stuff is traditional. It's hopeless, Rick.
It really is. But.
Yep. It's like saying gentlemen and ladies instead of ladies and gentlemen. It's just one of those phrases.
What really concerns me is what Dr. Sullivan said, is that it really is concerning if healthcare is suggesting something and it's not. And how do you build a system that assures that healthcare cannot be overlooked?
Yeah, and you know, the governance part of it, I mean, that's where the governance part is important, and it's because that's ultimately the board's responsibility. Right. I mean, you could have
a failure of governance and leadership
that
led to what you just described as a major hole in the system, which I sort of agree with.
Because people do have those responsibilities, and they are mandated and expected by the electorate that puts those people in office. So.
I don't know if it's still that way, but when I lived down in Silicon Valley 30-some years ago, the city of Sunnyvale had a really interesting model. They had, I think they called it Public Safety Department or something like that. It's not just fire and EMS, it's police.
That's what a lot of jurisdictions have until they gave up their fire and EMS
for
the cost.
And I'm wondering if they actually did that, split it out and say, we can't afford to do that.
But I think they did.
All of them are expensive.
Yeah.
I mean, every one of those is an expensive proposition.
Right. And unfortunately, I think a lot of grant writing, as the federal government got much more active in writing grants through the 90s, that departments really wanted that separation.
But what came out of that conversation about how you really want to have this as an integrated service, because then everybody rolls to the scene. Well, yeah, but the sheriff is still going to roll somebody to the MPA.
Right.
I mean, they are.
Right.
So you got to kind of consider how integrated do you really need to be with IB, and what works and what doesn't work. What are they getting away from jurisdictions that try it and why? You know, if you wanted to do that exploring, check out.
So does anybody have a gut feeling of the way they're leaning?
Yeah, gut feeling about the way I'm leaning. I kind of think we should share it next meeting, but yeah.
No, I'm just asking if you have a gut. I'm not suggesting what the gut is. Do you have a gut?
I do. What
do I
mean? Do you have a feeling?
Well, I got a feeling.
Is that the feeling we're talking about?
Very cool. I'll stop asking.
Can I make sure we got the right minutes from last time, the right committees? It was legal issues, George and Chuck, and then interview other sources, Mark and Dan, right?
And then Chuck was also filling in.
And then Chuck also wants to be on that one. And then
Mark, Dan, and Chuck.
Yeah.
And then we can name Rick to the financial subcommittee.
But that was tonight.
For tonight.
For the minutes.
Yeah,
For the minutes of tonight's meeting. Yes.
Okay. All right.
Let's go into that.
Committee So what committee are we, I'm sorry, let's say that one more time, Mark, which committee are you on now, Rick?
Financial.
Financial. Is anybody else on that? Anybody else there?
George suggested me.
I suggested Mark. And honestly, part of the reason is he understands how the county budgets, sadly. Okay. if I could nominate my wife, I would, but...
Yeah, I was just
not doing that.
The new county budget, everything's a monster.
I'm not going there.
No.
Oh, come on. I can try. I already stood up for room. Well, it started at 8:30. When did I get there? The meeting ended at
10.
Oh, yeah, we need to officially adjourn, too.
Yes. Okay. I think we can adjourn.
We are adjourned.
Yes.
We adjourn.
Yes. I'll turn off the recorder. Right.
Yeah,
but I
thanks, Nathan.
Break it down, I guess.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.